Special. If your kids here in the kids club, I understand you may now go. So go. Something I wanted to do before we get into the message part for Anniversary Sunday. Tomorrow, a group of us, we're heading off. We're going away to Israel. And we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And it's going to be such a wonderful trip. I'm so looking forward to it. And I know many others are. Altogether, there's 23 people from IBC that are heading off on this tour, on this trip. Some are already gone. Some are leaving today, I believe. But a majority of us are leaving tomorrow morning, well, midday. So I'd ask Pastor Mike if he would lead all of us in saying a prayer for our team that's going. So I'd like to ask the team that's heading off tomorrow, would you come on up here on the platform with me? Come on up, Israel trip team. I know I'm not alone. Come on up. Excellent. They're down here or up here. Okay, I'll go down by my wife. Here, can I squeeze in? Okay, thank you, Pastor Mike.
All right, well, is it possible for you to come closer and join hands together? There you go, perfect, perfect. Church, will you pray in your heart with me as I lead us in a time of prayer that the Lord's protection, direction, and guidance would be upon our group as they embark tomorrow for this long journey. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, we lift each and every one that's here, that's a part of this trip, up before you. For they're precious people to us, and they're precious people to you. So, Lord, first and foremost, we ask your divine protection over them, that as they travel, that their flights would be without event, that their journey that they take would be refreshing, not only physically, but spiritually. That as they meet new people, they try different foods, that it would be you, Lord, who directs their hearts and their steps. For Lord, only we can read from your word of the places where Jesus walked and the apostles preached. But Lord, from tomorrow onward, for the next 2 weeks, they're going to experience it firsthand, and they'll see those places. And Lord, no doubt it'll be life-changing in many ways. But our prayer that it would be life-changing from the inside out. That it would be your Spirit who ministers to them. That it would be your calling upon their hearts and their lives that refreshes them. That when they return from the journey, their fire and their love for you would even be stronger. As they meet people along the way, may you give them opportunity to share the gospel and to be a witness. As they see places that only we can read about, may you, Lord, be the one who fascinates their minds and their hearts with who you are. May they know you. May they draw themselves closer to you as you draw yourself closer to them. So as we come before you, it's with our heart, Lord, that we ask that you would take care of them. And in everything that's accomplished, may you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, be glorified and worshiped. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you, church. Do pray for us on our journey. Pray for health. Everyone keep strong and healthy as well on the travels. On this anniversary, the theme that we're focusing on is this called be peculiar. Be peculiar. Peculiar is a word that we don't use so much today as perhaps we once did. What do you think of when you think of the word peculiar? In the King James, it says, ye are a peculiar people. You'll find probably in your Bible it says a special people or something along those lines. But I like this idea of peculiar. What do you think of? Now, I was searching for peculiar people. Maybe a mistake just Googling something like that. But you come up with things like this, peculiar people. Okay, and this couple comes up. There was an article on this couple, a peculiar couple it called them, and they drive vintage Cadillac hearses as their daily drivers, it said. And so went into their bizarre lifestyle. Another couple, happy couple getting married was this one. A peculiar couple comes up. Speaking of peculiar couples, here's another couple that got married recently. Yes, yep, peculiar. They're in the kitchen. Oh, man. I was hoping I would get them. Well, yeah, they're working on the cake right now. They got married last week, and what a lovely wedding, a lovely couple. But you know what? They are peculiar. And this is what the Bible tells us that they are. And the Bible tells us that we are peculiar as well. Let me show you a peculiar group of people. This is International Baptist 35 years ago. 35 years ago. A peculiar group of people here. But what is it that makes us so peculiar? That's what we're going to look at today. And along those lines, I want to do something that we typically do at this time of year on our anniversary Sundays. We like to acknowledge our peculiar group of people, in particular our backgrounds and where we come from, because we take joy, we take pride in the fact that as believers in Christ, a holy nation, we are made up of people from all parts of the world. Many of us have come to New Zealand from another part of the world. Many of us have made New Zealand home. But in this exercise, we ask, where was it that you came from? Where were you born? Okay? And that shows us the variety. So what I'm going to do this morning, something different, little different way that we normally do. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up, the whole church, to stand up where you are. Everybody up. Okay. Now, what a peculiar people you are. Amen. But when I call out your country, then you will take a seat. Okay, you can clap if you want for your country, but take a seat, okay? And that way, we'll get through everybody and make sure nobody's missed out. And so the last one standing, you win the prize. Okay, and also it gives us an update on the number of nationalities represented by our wonderful church. So the first name that I'm going to call out for the sake of getting rid of a bunch of you quickly is Philippines. If you're from the Philippines. Okay, that gives us a lot more room here, doesn't it? Okay. The second I'm going to call out is China. China, please take a seat. Okay, we're doing well. Okay, now the third one. This is a random order, so don't think it's an order of importance or anything like that. But the third one will be if you're New Zealand born, go ahead and take a seat. Loud ones. Okay, got a few more there. Okay, if you were born in the U.S. of A., take a seat. Okay, a few more. If you were born in Malaysia, Malaysians, yes, excellent. A few more. If you were born in Indonesia, got one. The others. Okay, good. is Singapore. If you were born in Singapore. South Africa. Okay, we're getting down to the few. India, anybody? India? Yes, of course. Hong Kong? Oh, a couple? Okay. Any Korea? Koreans, yes, you said. Japan? Anybody here from Japan? Yes, excellent. Japanese must be happy this morning. Yes. You see the game yesterday? Well done. That was awesome. Switzerland. Okay. Taiwan. Where's our Australian? There she is.
Yes.
Yes. She was waiting. England. Yes. Wow, there's not many left. Not many left. Do we have a Tahitian here? Why are you standing? Okay, now sit. Do we have any Brunei? Okay, now the question is, have I missed anybody? I don't see anybody standing in this room. Anybody in the back? I miss anybody? Any Fijians? Really, no Fijians here. Okay, then we're calling it at 18. 18 nationalities. Well done. Awesome. Okay. We're a peculiar group. I think it's a beautiful thing. But the Bible says we're a special, peculiar people. What makes us peculiar? In the KJV, like I said, in verse number 9 of 1 Peter 1, or 1 Peter 2. Let's read this out loud, shall we? Read it with me. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a peculiar people. Not the weird or strange aspect necessarily, although we have to know that to the world sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? It does. Strange, odd, bizarre, weird. There's another verse where peculiar is used in Titus 2:14. Says, who gave himself for us, Christ, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That special people is peculiar again. He did this for us. He gave himself to redeem us from sin, that he might have a peculiar people, his own special people. Those who are redeemed, those who are saved from their lawlessness, they're purified for God, and the Bible says they're peculiar. So my urging for you today, for all of us, is this. Be that peculiar person this year. Be peculiar. Wear it proudly. Not just being strange for the sake of being strange. That's not what we're talking about. But that you are a special people called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's what we are. And by the way, I don't know if you can tell, but the picture here is of a beautiful butterfly in a dark background. That's kind of a picture of what God has called us to be. In a dark world, we are called into His marvelous light. We are transformed. We are a new creation. And we have a calling. Stand out as being different. It's okay. You are a light in a dark world. Live it and be peculiar. So the question I'm asking this morning is, how are we peculiar? Again, not in just in how you look, you know, look strange, you look weird and bizarre and out there. No. How are we peculiar? Number one is this. What is number one? How we live. This is the easy, not easy, but it's obvious one. 1 Peter 4, verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God, the one who's born again. Verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable heresies. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Again, sometimes will they think us peculiar and strange and weird? Yes. This is what Peter here was telling us. Because of who you are, because of how you now live. Basically, in regard to how we live, the world sees there's a difference. And the truth is, listen to me, the truth is there's a lot of Christianity out there right now that wants to give the image, the impression that you can be a Christian. Nothing in your life has to be any different than the rest of the world. You're not so weird. That's okay. And they think that they will attract more people to Jesus Christ if they just show that nothing has to change in your life. That there is no difference between you and everybody else. But that is not what God has called us to. God called us to live in the light. He's called us to be different, to be peculiar. That's our calling. That's your mission. And it's okay. Peter here is clearly showing this is how you once lived, like everybody else. This is what Peter's talking about here. This is how you once lived. And now, because of Jesus Christ, this is how you are living. This is the difference. And it's a black and white, night and day kind of difference. Compared two things, the lust of living in the lust of men and living for the will of God. That's what he says here in verse number 2. No longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Two very different things. They're not the same. He mentions something specifically. He mentions lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and idolatries. The word lewdness here, the word itself means filthy, unrestrained sin. And typically unrestrained sexual pleasure practices. That's what it's talking about. Lewdness. Filthy, unrestrained sin focused on sexual pleasure primarily. Then he talks about lust, desiring the things that are just forbidden, the things that are not for us to have. Drunkenness. Basically, what he's referring to is people that are living for the flesh, that are out of control. Drunkenness. It's a sad state of affairs. Take a look at the number of young people drinking. It's sad. I remember years ago, early 2000s sometime, Jennifer and I, we took a trip over to Australia to a fellowship meeting. It was near Sydney. And one of the nights, a game came up in Sydney. It was starting off of the League of Nations rugby game. And so a group of us got some tickets, and we went to see this. So we got on a train on the train to the stadium, it was filled with young people, already so plastered, so drunk out of their minds before they even get to the game. It was a sad sight to see. Some of them couldn't even stand up. They couldn't walk. This is what Peter's talking about. He says, this is how we used to live, but now things are different. Or they should be. They need to be. They must be. Revelries literally means letting loose. Or again, referring to free sexual expression. Revelries. Drinking parties. Idolatries. Peter's saying, at one time, you lived the way where anything goes as you obeyed sin. You were a slave to sin. This is who you were. Your master, you obey. But because you've been redeemed, you've been bought, you've been rescued from slavery, and you've wasted enough of your life this way, and now serve God, be different, be peculiar. And we are a peculiar people. Why else? Think about this. Why else would so many want to do something on a Friday night like go to a prayer meeting and a Bible study instead of going out drinking and getting drunk with their mates? Why? Because we're a peculiar people. God has redeemed us. He set us free from sin. He set us free to enjoy life and to serve Him with our life. And the world sees this kind of thinking and they think you're crazy. You're nuts. That's just peculiar. They will not understand this. And sometimes it might even make them angry with you for whatever reason. Christian young people, listen to me. Something else the world will not understand and think you're crazy about is in regards to sex. To the world, waiting for sex until you are married. Well, to the world, waiting is like maybe on the second or third date. That's waiting. That's being patient. That is not pushing. And so when they hear, wait a second, no. Sex is between a man and woman in the bond of marriage. And you'll get some looks. You'll get some bizarre looks. And they'll say, what a peculiar person. The concept is foreign to them. In fact, they will mock it. And they will deride you, put you down for such outdated, archaic kind of thinking. And the question then is, do you serve God or do you serve men? Will you serve God as a peculiar person, as a holy nation, as a people that have been redeemed, or will you serve men and what their expectations, their standards, their norms are? Peter here says, we spend enough of our time fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of men. Now we live for the will of God. Live for the will of God. We're peculiar because of how we live. But number two, we're peculiar because of where our identity is. Our identity. What is our identity? Who are you? Who are you? It wasn't this past Friday, but the Friday before, a number of us went to watch this movie. It was a Christian movie. Overcomer. And a couple of times in that movie, a guy would ask a question to somebody, who are you? And of course, you know, the answers come back, all kinds of things, you know, what I do, basically. But he kept saying, who are you? He was trying to get them to see their identity in Christ, who they were in Christ. Hear that. Nobody's moving. Make sure they're off or silent. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are in Christ. We are different. We have been baptized into Him. The word, it's not water baptism that we're talking about. It is a placing into His life, and our life becomes intertwined into His. And who He is, we are. What He experienced, the death on the cross, we died with Him, and we rose with Him to new life. We are in Christ. We have His life. We have eternal life. That is our identity. We are in Christ. And so all of our who we are is now predicated by that phrase, in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. I am a child of God in Christ. I am set free from the bondage of sin in Christ because my life is immersed in Him. We also see in 1 Corinthians 12:27, expanding our identity a little bit. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We become part. Last week we saw we were those living stones that were being placed together by the builder into a church. We are living stones that become this body. We are each individual members, but together we make up this body that God is building. That's who we are. That's our identity. We see our new identity. Today, there's a lot of talk about identities. And people are identifying. They just think that they can make up their identity however they want to. I'm going to show you a picture. I don't want you to be too shocked, but a couple of years ago, there was this article and there was this documentary thing on this fellow. He's from Canada, so you know Canadians. The guy in the middle, he was a 53-year-old, middle-aged husband and father, been married for 23 years, and he had 7 children. And finally, he decided he had a new identity. You guess what he was? He was not as a woman. He identified, well, first as an 8-year-old girl. And then that changed later because, it changed for a number of reasons. He became a 6-year-old girl. And so he identifies himself as a 6-year-old girl. These are his adopted parents. And they take care of him and treat him like a little girl. And he has a room full of little dollies that he sleeps with, and their grandchildren come over and play with granddaughters come over and play with him because he's a 6-year-old little girl now. People can be confused as to who they are. The Bible has answers for us in this. Galatians reminds us that as we have been immersed into Christ, we have put on Christ. He is our robe of righteousness. It's who we are in Christ. The other part of our identity is the body of believers, who we are in the body of Christ. I find my identity in being part of you guys together. We are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We are that building that God is making. My worth is Christ. We are peculiar because of where our identity is. We see this in the world and they call us peculiar. But this kind of thing, many people praise and say, this is good. Thirdly, we're peculiar because of where our minds are. Where is your mind? Well, Romans 12:1-2. I know many of you know this. It's a great verse to memorize, to live by. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, friends, upon salvation, the Bible says that we have a new heart. God takes out the old, exchanges it for a new. He gives us a soft heart. We are new creations in Christ. We are not the same. We have a new nature in Christ. But we see here, we are urged as followers of Christ, those who are new creations, to renew our minds. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If this was something that was automatically done at salvation, it would not be a command in here. So we need to obey. We need to do. We need to walk with God and partner with Him, submitting to Him and obeying Him as He does the renewing process in our minds. I wish upon salvation, I wish that like a computer, our minds were just reset. There's this spiritual button in the back of your head, and God pushes it and resets, and all the garbage that you've been putting into your mind for years is instantly taken away and gone. Wouldn't that be great? I think it would be awesome. But you know, God, He doesn't work that way. And so we're told, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind, through the continuous inputting of the Word of God, the truth of God, meditating on Him, He who has made us, and how it is that He desires and would have us to live. And the longer we are in this transformation process, this renewing process, the less the old rubbish is brought to mind and the less that it affects us. Again, I wish it was just completely wiped out and gone, never to be remembered again. And if you've had that experience, then amen. I just am pleased, but it's not the norm. I wish it was. But we need to walk daily with the Lord. And day by day, as we are keeping our mind and our love and affection focused on Him, the old takes a further back seat, further back seat, further back seat. And I don't think it'll be completely gone until we're with Him in glory. Because I tell you what, confession. I remember still, to this day, the very first pornographic image I ever saw. I was about 7 years old. Seven. And I was at some neighbor kid house and went into one of their big siblings' rooms, and it was plastered all over the wall. And it was one of those shocking, eye-opening kind of experience. I haven't forgotten. And I remember that. And I still remember that. But by God's grace, I don't dwell on it day by day. And by God's grace, I want to keep my mind and heart focused on Him and growing in Him. And if I fail, man, I need to confess, because He's faithful and just to forgive. And I want to keep walking with the Lord. And I hope you do too. Our minds are on a mission to please the One who enlisted us. 2 Timothy 2:4 says it this way: no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please Him who enlisted him as a soldier. You've been enlisted. God has enlisted you through salvation. You've become one of His, a soldier of Christ. Our mission is to please the One who enlisted us. We're peculiar because of where our minds are. Set your minds on the things above. Be a peculiar person. Number four, We're peculiar because of who owns us. This may not be popular because the world, they like to talk about belonging to nobody. Nobody owns me. I can do what I want. I'm free. No one has a right to tell me anything of what to do. And this makes us once again a bit peculiar. Because Acts 20, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now this is written to the Ephesian elders at the time, the Ephesian shepherds of a church, pastoring over a church. But the part I want you to focus on is the charge to shepherd the church of God, which was purchased with his blood. God purchased his people. He bought them with his own blood. What a high price. We talk about salvation being free, and it is a gift. But don't get it mixed up with being cheap, because it was very costly. It was very costly. And he gives it freely to us. Paul later tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to him. You've been bought. Glorify God in it. Child of God, it should be not offensive at all to you to realize that Jesus Christ bought and paid for you. And he loves you. And he loves you so much he set you free. And with your freedom, you serve him. Because he paid for it with his own blood. The first thing we ought to do is clarify ownership in our lives. Who do we belong to? We can't say, I'm my own self. I can do what I want. My body belongs to me. No one else has the right to tell me what to do. You've been bought with a price. Once we have this in mind, many decisions in our life become easier. Someone says, I really love my boyfriend, and I think that he wants me to move in with him. The response should be, you've been bought with a price. You can't just decide that you're going to do whatever you want to do. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not your body to do with what you want to do. Your body belongs to God. We are peculiar because of who it is that owns us. And then lastly, one more thing. Remember this. We're peculiar because of what we're looking for. I'm going to close with Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own peculiar people, zealous for good works. We live for the Lord because we're looking for him. By the way, verse 13 is a good passage for the deity of Christ. He's the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. He gave himself to redeem us, to buy us back from slavery, to redeem us from it and purify for himself his own special people. His own special people. But what is it that we're looking for as his special people? We're looking for, verse 13, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. Jesus says, I will come again. He's coming again. The Bible talks about this special time. a time when there's a particular generation of believers of the church. And at that time, the trump will sound and Jesus Christ will come. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. We refer to this as the rapture or the taking away. The rapture event. And there's a generation of believers that never will see death at this time because he's coming to take us. They're there, but then they're no more. And then ushers in other events with the tribulation period. But Christ is victorious in all of this. So we as believers always been looking for that appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, how does it affect our lives? Verse 12 tells us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We deny ourselves these things. Our focus is on something else, on somebody else. We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this age. Don't tell me there's no difference between a true, regenerated, born-again Christian and the world. The Bible tells us clearly there must be a difference. We're walking in the light. We are redeemed to be purified, a peculiar people, zealous to good works. In a world that puts tremendous pressure on individuals to conform to its mold, its values, its desires, its temptations. Christians are indeed a peculiar bunch. Let us be thankful for these things that make us different, these things that make us peculiar. We should all strive to be a peculiar people, amen? Finally, one last picture. Just this image of peculiar. Do we have one more? Well, there we go. That'll work. We are a peculiar people because of how we live, where our identity is, where our minds are, who owns us, what we're looking for. We are called to be different, called to be special, called to be a peculiar people. My question is, will you commit yourself to being peculiar this year? Stand out in a dark world. Stand out as that new creation that God's made you. Stand out for him. Would you stand with me? With your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to encourage you to make this commitment between you and the Lord today. Pray in your heart, Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for calling me to be your child, for salvation, which I could never buy, I could never deserve, but you gave it freely to me. Thank you for calling me to be a peculiar people. With your body, the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to stand out. I want to be that peculiar person. I want to be that light that shines in a dark world. I know, Lord, that many may not understand. They may think it's strange. They may even not like it. But I am a peculiar person. I am peculiar because of how I live, because of where my identity is, where my mind is being renewed in your truth. I am peculiar because of who owns me. I am peculiar because of what I am looking for. Jesus Christ is coming. I commit myself this year to being a peculiar person for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take a seat? We do have something that we're wanting to do. By the way, before we go on to the, I know you're excited. Just wait. Before we go on to this, I do want to say, if there's anybody here who is uncertain of their relationship to God, please don't leave without coming to myself or Pastor Mike saying, I want to talk about this. I want to know Jesus Christ. We invite you, always, always, come to us. Question is, we got a couple of announcements, or let's get the announcements out of the way, and then we'll get into our anniversary cake and singing happy anniversary. Okay, are we ready, Mike? Do we have? Okay, thanks.
All right, so just a few quick announcements that we would like to share with you. If you have your bulletins on the inside pages, under notices, we have the Married Couples Retreat. That's in November on the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we still have at least two spaces that we can hire out. So just come and see me or Gina about that, and we'll give you the details for the Married Couples Retreat. We also have a youth night coming up. It's an all-nighter on the 11th of October. That's a Friday night. So Josh and Denise are in charge of that. They're in the kitchen right now. So if you're part of the teen group and you'd like to be a part of the Friday night all-nighter, come and see Josh and Denise. We have a new members class that will be starting on the 27th of October. That's on a Sunday morning. We're going to be doing the new members class in the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour. So if you would like to come and check that out, it's 5 weeks. So you are invited to come and be a part of that as well. And then the Spring Festival, the event that we'll be having on Thursday, the 31st of October, it's a nautical theme, so you're invited to bring your friends, your family, all of those along. We still have a lot of games and activities and things that will be done. Are you still looking, Jennifer, for people to sign up for that as well?
Sure.
Yep. So if you want to be a part of that by hosting or having a part of the booths, then come and see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, and she will let you know what still needs to be done. Our missionaries that we're praying for this week, specifically David and Wan Yi Chong. These are our missionaries that we've supported in Asia for quite a number of years, so continue to pray for them and our other missionary letters that we've posted in the back as well. So do we want to do anniversaries and birthdays as well now? Might as well do that as well. Anyone with a birthday this week, coming up this week or through this week? I know Denise is in the back, so somebody's going to have to go get Denise.
I'm here because it's Pastor Mike's birthday.
Yes, my birthday. Seems like it's about this time every year. I don't know why. It always
it's
is.
It's actually today is his
Anyone
birthday.
Anyone else with birthday this week? No? Wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries this week? Anyone with what? Come on up. Come on up, Josh. So we have Denise's birthday. Wedding anniversaries, so I guess we'll sing happy birthday first.
Let's do birthdays, yes. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Okay, now what I want to do, let's go ahead and bring in the cake now.